Good morning. The August 27th meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. The core MPO is holding an in-person meeting with a virtual option for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating, today's agenda is broken down into the following items: approval of the agenda, committee reports, action items to be presented by staff, other business, status report on current projects and activities, information report, other public comments, notes by the chairman, adjournment. For each agenda action item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public that are online, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker's card. At appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you may be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. The meeting will now come to order. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. May I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the agenda. Palumbo.
Second, Milton.
Properly motion and second that the agenda be approved. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your votes by stating your name and your vote starting at far left.
Yes, Owens.
Pull the microphone down and make sure it's lit up down at the bottom. Make sure you got a red.
How do we turn it red?
Just punch it. No, not that. No, come on. At the base. At the base down there.
Punch. I thought the punch would do it.
There it is.
Got it. Yes, Owens.
All right. Come on. Next.
Kanisa, PG.planning, yes.
Bruce Cammer, yes.
Milton, yes.
Carol Ann, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Downs, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
All right. The chairman, yes. All right. Committee reports. We're going to verbal. All right.
Good morning. I'll be giving the committee reports. So first, BPAC. The Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee met on August 19th. In that meeting, they suggested several edits to the non-motorized transportation plan amendment, and we have incorporated those edits into the report. So for COPIC, the Community Opportunities and Public Involvement Committee, formerly known as the Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee, has changed its name based on federal priority changes. So moving forward, the committee will now be called COPIC. Additionally, MPO staff showed COPIC members short informational videos that we will be posting on social media. So COPIC really liked these videos and saw that we took their advice. And you can see these videos if you follow the core MPO's Instagram. For TCC, TCC met earlier this month and endorsed all action items. And that's the last one.
All right, any questions? Okay. TCC? Ms. Brooks, she's not here?
Oh, I gave all three.
Oh, you gave all three?
Yeah.
Good, thank you. So you ahead of me, good. All right, let's go to the executive director.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to let you know that we're hosting the fall annual GAMPO conference. It'll be September the 26th and 27th, and it will be held at the Holiday Inn Express on Bay Street.
So. All right. Would you please send everybody an email to that effect so that they can put it on their calendars?
Yes, okay. I will.
All right. Thank you. All right. All right, let's go to the action items. Wakola, you got you up first. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm skipping one. Let me have a approval of the Core MPO's board meeting minutes from June the 25th, 2025. May I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval. Palumbo.
Second, County.
All right, probably motion and second. Ready for unreadiness? Let us start voting before my right.
Elder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Downs, yes.
Underwood, yes.
County, and yes.
Milton, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Dunnings, yes.
Owens, yes.
All right, Chairman, yes. Okay, good approval. All right, now we'll go to the amendments. MPT.
Good morning. I will just present this 2050 MTP amendments. The reason we're doing the amendments is because last time we presented to you, we are going to do the call for projects. And we coordinated with all of our members, say, if you have a project that you want to apply for the funding, make sure they're consistent with 2050 MTP. So if they're not coordinated with us. So since then, we actually received a separate request from Chatham County and also received two requests from City of Savannah. And that's one of the reasons that we do the 2050 MTP amendments to make the projects eligible for the call for projects. The second reason is GDOT requested a mass amendment for a transportation improvement program, and one of the projects is not included in the 2050 MTP. So you really cannot include a project into the TIP until it is in the MTP, because TIP is a subset. So we are processing this MTP for two reasons. One is to make the projects eligible for call for projects, and second one is to make the TIP projects consistent. So for the MTP amendments, the most important consideration is to, if we amend the project in, it doesn't impact other projects. Or if it does, you have to kick out other projects. Make your suggestion to kick which project. So that's why we have to do financial analysis or balance analysis. So there are three layers for MTP amendments. The first is administrative modification. And that's just a minor one, so you don't have to worry about that. The one-step amendment is if we add your project in, it doesn't impact the financial balance. It doesn't kick out other projects. And then you can do a one-step amendment. The two-step amendments, if we add a project in, and we have to kick other projects, and we have to do some kind of analysis. That's just two step. So we actually did analysis for all of these requests, and I will just go over them very quickly. The Chatham County requests two projects. One is John Carter Road widening. So they are actually including the cost estimate in the request. So basically the PE and the right way, they want that to be included in cost band one, which covers 2025 to 2032. And then cost band two would be for utility and construction. And that's the next 10 years. And then the second project that Chatham County requested is the State Route 204 at the Pine Grove signal elimination. As you all know, that Chatham County is doing the State Route 204 access study right now. So this is coming from that recommendation. So it's coming from that study. So for this project, they request a PE right-way utility and construction all in cost band one, which is 2025 to 2030. So they can apply for the funds. GDOT request, GDOT basically wants us to include the I-16 widening project. So it shows that the official name is I-16 from I-95 Chatham County to State Route 67 Bullock County, but only 30% of that is located within the Compeer boundary, which is from I-95 all the way to the Effingham County, Bryan County, County line. So the total project cost for this one, for the whole segment is $521 million. But the segment within our boundary is almost $173 million. So that is the cost. City of Savannah requested two projects. One is Benton Boulevard, and then another one is a Skateway Road. But unfortunately, City of Savannah didn't provide any financial information, so we don't know whether we include this project will impact the financial balance. That's just a part of the request that we received. And also we received the City of Savannah request after the deadline. So just want to let you know. So after all of this, and the MPO wants to do the analysis, basically it's the financial balance. So if we include all of these projects, and can we cover it in the 2050 MTP? For John Carter Road widening, I checked the cost band one. Currently we have $3.6 million. And the requested amount is $3.4 million. So the current balance in the 2050 MTP cost band one should be able to cover this John Carter Road project, widening project. And then for the utility and construction project, we don't have the balance, but Chatham County did send us a local commitment letter, a local commitment fund letter. So basically, they will pursue the project, the later phases with local funds. So we should be able to include this project into the 2050 MTP with additional local funds. So inclusion of this project will not impact other projects. So we can process this amendment as one-step amendment. And Pine Grove Road signal elimination, because this is operational improvements, and we do have a set aside in the 2050 MTP. So we have a set aside funds in cost fund 1, 2, 3. So currently we actually have about $78 million in cost fund 1, and specific project to be identified through this process. So we decided this project can be added into the 2050 MTP, or it doesn't have to be amended into the 2050 MTP because it's already consistent with the operational set aside. So we should be able to accommodate this project. So if Chatham County wants to apply for like STGB or Y230 funds, they should be eligible. For the I-16 widening project that GDOT requested, the reason GDOT requested is this project actually have 99% of the project is covered by state funds. When we developed the 2050 MTP, one of the assumptions is that we don't have state funds. So we assumed zero state funds. So now they are coming up with all of these state funds. That's considered additional revenue that we can use. And then also the only federal funds they have is about $330,000, and GDOT will provide that. So we consider these additional revenues beyond the 2050 MTP revenue. So in a short sentence, if we include this project into the 2050 MTP, it will not impact other projects. So we can process as amendment, a one-step amendment. On the other side, we also coordinated with GDOT on several other state-funded projects because we asked the GDOT, do you want to, because we were recently made aware because the state government suddenly have some additional revenue they want to allocate it to other projects. And so four of the projects in our area actually received the state funds. So we asked GDOT, do you want to amend those into the 2050 MTP as well? But GDOT decided, no, the reason that I-16 needs to be amended is because of $300,000 federal funds. But the other three projects, one is the State Route 21 from State Route 30 to McCall Road. They want to pursue it as all purely state fund projects. And then the Connector Road, this is the Benton Boulevard project from State Route 30, it's 17 to 36. To 30, and they also want to pursue this as a state fund project. And another one is I-95 from State Road 144 to State Road 21. It is all pure state fund projects. The reason they want to stay this way is because the state funded project going through less stringent environmental process. So if you have a federal funds, you have to go through the NEPA process. It might take 6 years, but state funds might take 5 years or 4 years. So they as of now, they want to pursue these projects as a state fund projects. But I do want to mention this State Route 21 widening projects is already included in our 2050 MTP. So if we have this additional state funds, that means those revenues allocated to that project, ideally, it will be released, can be used by other projects. So just want to let you know that.
Can you, Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
Can you repeat that last sentence about 21?
State Route 21 widening project?
Yeah. The about them leaving it, it already being in the MPP?
Yeah, they are. The State Route 21, there were two State Route 21 projects in the 2050 MTP. They were actually ranked very high when we did the project prioritization. Yeah. And so actually this is our long-term top one. So GDOT picked up this project. And so they are working on this project and currently they're funding it with all state funds. So those, we actually have about $50 million in cost spend one for this project, but that's based on our 2050 MTP revenue projection. But now since GDOT has come up with state funds, so ideally those funds can be replaced with the state funds. So that $50 million can be released for other projects, basically.
I got you. Thank you.
Yeah. They haven't started phase two yet.
And that's being designed with them to keep it into state funds and local funds rather than going federal.
Yeah.
That's going to change the landscape if we go federal.
We actually want them to, but there's still a possibility that they might come back and pursue federal funds. But for now, this project is okay because it's already in the 2050 MTP.
Right.
But we welcome the state funds because those additional revenues for us.
Yeah, so that they get a clear understanding
of
what you're telling them.
Yeah.
Coming in Effingham County.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Commissioner, you got to flip your thing back on.
Yeah, all one right. Question, Wakota, if you go back to Pine Grove signal elimination, you were talking about the revenue that was already there. When they did the presentation to us, there were several different levels. One was real cheap, the other one was next cheaper. And so one, and they're all short term for right now. Was there money for that to get started already?
This is Pine Grove signal elimination is, if you read their project description, it's just operational improvement. So when we developed the 2050 MTP, we listed all of those capital projects specifically, but we have like four set asides. One is maintenance, one is operational improvement, one is transit, and another one is non-motorized. So this actually fits into the operational improvement. So we just have a set aside, but that's why we have this policy. The specific projects is to be identified, but if you have a specific project, it can be covered under operational improvement set aside. So basically this project will be eligible when we conduct the call for projects.
I mean, just with the presentation, I was just wondering, was it enough revenue there to make the initial project?
Well, I'm not sure because I think for the Y230 funds, you can assume like $4 million federal dollars available each year for the next 4 years. For this project, actually, let's see. It's not a big project. So at least, I mean, you can start the preliminary engineering phase. So that's like $3 million. So it can be covered.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the City of Savannah projects, the Benton Boulevard and Skidway Road project, since the City of Savannah didn't submit financial information, so we really cannot do the financial analysis, so we just have to reject these two for the 2050 MTP amendments. But we did ask the city to coordinate it with GDOT because GDOT is already doing this connector project, which is the northern segment of Benton Boulevard. So we actually want the city to coordinate with GDOT on that one before we pursue this project. And also remember that we did upgrade the Benton Boulevard last year, functional classification. So now this Benton Boulevard is eligible for federal dollars, but city just need to like put their information together. But unfortunately for this round, they didn't submit enough information, so we cannot process MTP amendments. So for the public participation part, we did advertise for a 15-day public comment period, and today is the last day, and we also advertised for a public hearing at this meeting.
So let me ask this question now so that the City of Savannah be clear. For the Benton Boulevard project, even though it's past our deadline, for a tip, right? Is what you're telling us. But
Before we can include any project in the TP, it has to be included in the 2050 MTP, but this project is not in the 2050 MTP. So the City of Savannah requests this project to be amended into the 2050 without providing information for us to do the analysis.
So if they get with GDOT, all right, and they then provide you with the financial information you need, there is time for, just like GDOT came with those others to say, we've got this money now, we need to include them. They can do the same.
It will be late for this round of call for projects.
They could, if they get with GDOT and basically coordinate the funding and some other information
right.
that we need, then we can basically make sure that they're in the next round. Right now, we're past the deadline.
Right.
They would be eligible for the next round, so they just need to get the number so that we can.
You can show the numbers.
Right. We've got to show that information. We didn't get all of the information that we needed from
right.
them. But once we get it, then we can do the amendment to the MTP because the MTP has to be amended before, we can deal with the funding piece.
Yeah. Because I understand it.
Round.
One section of Benbard Boulevard, the northern side is included, right? Didn't they get with GDOT and include the northern side?
We include that one because it's all state fund right now. So it's included in the TIP as an illustrative project.
Yeah.
So it's not an official part of the TIP. So, but it's there for information purposes because it's state funds.
Okay. Colombo?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, MPO staff, for your consideration of including these important projects. We just wanted to communicate early and often that we know that these are regionally significant investments and that the city is taking a step forward to major projects that we need to partner with other municipalities. For Skidaway Road, you know, that you've got, of course, the town of Thunderbolt, Sandfly, Isle of Hope, City of Savannah, and of course for the, you know, Benton Boulevard project, partnering with our friends, Port Wentworth, City of Pooler especially. But we wanted to communicate this in real time as early as we could, once these were placed onto the newest SPLOST list, to be able to bring these forward. And we look forward to providing that information, at the next opportunity to amend the MTP.
Yeah. And also, for the Benton Boulevard and Skidaway Road project, That's a good point. You need to do the coordination because when city submitted this request, as you can see, the limit is not even including the southern, all the way to Pooler. So if we, the MPO wants to do the Benton Boulevard, widening project, we actually want to include the whole segments. So not only the city segments. The City of Savannah needs to coordinate with City of Pooler. I would say if you like do the joint project, actually. So that will make more sense.
Yeah, and just to communicate it another way, we wanted to make sure that we weren't submitting a wish list item, but something that was in our cart, you know, that we knew that we were committed to and to get on the list. So these are major initiatives and a large undertaking, and we just wanted to communicate as early as we could that, you know, we're making these larger commitments.
Yeah, and also if SPLOST 8 passes and this project is included in it, and SPLOST funds can be considered additional revenue, and then in that case you can request like amend it into the 2050 MTP in that case. So,
you know, I just don't want it to be lost on anybody that there is an opportunity to do an amendment. All right. So because it's past the first round, and I'm just using the first round, okay,
yeah.
We go into the second round. But if the in between there, there's a chance to make an amendment, then we take opportunities for those chances. But we have to make sure that we get those numbers because those numbers are important as we move from local funds to state funds to federal funds.
Mm-hmm.
See, and you don't want to get caught that you get to the federal level and then they're going to reject it because it says some certain numbers not in place. All right. That's the point I want to make with everybody.
Yeah. Make
so
sure
so
for
everybody
the,
understands.
Yes. For the MTP amendments, the most important consideration is financial balance.
Right.
So that's the only thing that you need to consider. So that's why you have to provide the numbers.
Yeah. And so what may need to take place now in this, and so that we can get it back on time and on task is that you may need to get, Savannah, who's a larger, and Pooler, who's a larger, because there are some areas in there, when you look at that, that's going to go beyond Pula and go beyond Savannah.
Yeah.
That we need to bring the smaller Bloomingdale or whoever else that's connected to that Benton Boulevard thing.
Yes, at the MPO level, we actually do encourage our member jurisdictions to coordinate with each other.
Right.
So we know this, like Benton Boulevard covers three jurisdictions.
Right.
So we don't want to just do one tiny segment. So we wanted to have like integrated project.
Yeah. And regionally, we can get more monies if we coordinate together.
Yes.
All right. That opens us up for more funding.
Yeah.
Even if. And I'm going to use this because Tim is right next to me, all right? Even if Benton Boulevard, I know it doesn't, but suppose Benton Boulevard goes into Effingham County, but the name changed.
It does.
All right?
So Effingham Parkway.
You want to do now is you want to coordinate with City of Savannah, Pula, Chatham County, and Effingham.
Yeah,
so
Effingham,
that
yes.
When we present it to GDOT or when we present it to the state legislator, it's a regional type thing rather than just focus on the specific. You want to comment?
Yes, sir.
Oh, go.
I just agree, Jay Melder, 100% accurate. Mr. Chairman, the project that's on the SPLA state list is a project that stems from the GDOT's Coastal Empire Report, which is what they call the Effingham Parkway South project, and that covers Benton Boulevard improvements from the county line through Port Wentworth, through the city of Savannah, both Benton and Highlands Boulevards to Jimmy DeLoach. And so the local share of that cost is proposed in the SPLA state list and has been coordinated with all of those entities and GDOT. And so we look forward to having that more fleshed out for the next, MPO meeting. I think that the next thing that we need to do on Benton Boulevard is to collaborate with Pooler about what that looks like after it crosses Jimmy DeLoach.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just want to make sure we all get on the same page and present it, because the opportunity for you to get those state and federal funds are what's at hand. And so if you know what's going on, see, so that's why I said maybe at some off time, rather than the larger group of us, you get to those specifics, and so that we can get those. Those numbers are really important as to where we are. See, so Effingham has to have a kind of idea along with GDOT, along with Chatham County, as to along with the city, along with Pula, as to what the cost estimate is, so that the money could be put in place and those numbers can show up, because they ask for those numbers, the factors first. All right. And so I want to make sure that as we're moving along and as this moving along and we're pointing towards SPLA state, that those factors are involved and they're there, so that we don't get a stumbling block down the road. We've covered this far, but then we get down the road and we don't have them and we need to have them in there. All right. So I'm suggesting and I'm encouraging everybody who's involved in that situation, to make sure that you up to date on what's happening on in your jurisdiction and the next jurisdictions close to you, because I think Pula needs to know exactly what's happening with Effingham, because it's going to affect it. See, and it's going to affect those numbers. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure. And GDOT is trying to coordinate all that together. All right.
Chairman.
Yes, ma'am.
Karen Williams. I do suggest that our Pooler city manager and Mr. Melder get together, because Pooler's portion of Benton Boulevard is already expanded. What's not past Cheddar is still Savannah. And if we improve all the way to Jimmy DeLoach and then we go back down to two lanes again and then back to our four lanes in Pooler, that's going to be a mess.
And create a bottleneck.
Yes, we are. And that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm saying you all know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. The Savannah is willing to talk with us, because that's a big problem for us.
Yeah. And see, the same thing applies. We don't want to do something to expand things in Chatham County, then get to Effingham County and create a bottleneck. So therefore, Effingham County needs to be at the table when we talk about that, so that we know it's a continuous project over the years. And I don't care whether I'm talking about 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, or 20 years, but a continuous project will receive more benefits from it than if we start and stop. Because every time you start and you stop, it's going to cost you more. And when it costs you more, folk going to start turning their heads. All right. So, but if we've got a continuous thing about this is where we're going, this is how we're doing it, and this is the purpose we're doing it. All right. And I also would suggest this too, is that as we talk about Benton Boulevard and as we talk about what it is in that plan, it's called Parkway. Okay. As we talk about that, make sure Georgia Ports is included. Cause honestly, yeah, I'm picking on you, Jamie. That's how you come in. Honestly, they're the ones who are driving this because we're trying to get those trucks and things out. We're trying to get those rails and things out of that port in a timely and in a good fashion so that it creates no negative impact on those subdivisions that are surrounded by it. And that's what we need to be. And that's on both sides. See, so that's why I'm saying, when we talk to our state folks, when we talk to our, they talk more about from a regional standpoint than they do from just an isolated standpoint or only in Chatham County, no matter what the municipalities are in Chatham County. Okay. So I want us to start talking about regionally because that's where the funds are going to be. And it's like they say, why you go to the bank? Because that's where the money is. All right. So let's go to the regional aspect of doing things because that's where the money is. That's the point I want to make. All right. Any? Gotcha. Go ahead.
Yeah. We did advertise for a public hearing for right. The 25th MTP. So.
Okay. You ready for it?
Yeah.
All right. Let me give me a motion that we have a public hearing.
Mr. Chairman, I move to open the hearing. Palumbo.
Second.
I've been properly motioned second by Milton that we open up a public hearing. Ready for it? All right, starting to my far left with Jamie. You got to cast your votes and name and vote.
Yes, McCurry.
Elder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Downs, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Connie's, yes.
Owens, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right. Public hearing though. Is there anyone, let me check with our IT people. Anybody raise hand?
Not yet, sir.
None?
None.
All right. Anyone in the audience who need any clarification or want to make any statements about it? Is there? All right. Does she want to make comment? Oh, okay. Dr. Shabazz, if you get ready to make a comment, please get my attention.
She just got disconnected.
Huh?
She left. She got disconnected. She left the.
Oh, okay.
Webinar,
all right.
So, yeah.
All right.
She's back. I'll let you know.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Let me have a motion to close.
Mr. Chairman, move to close the hearing. Palumbo.
Williams, second.
Probably motion and second. Let us start voting for my left.
Owens, yes.
Connie's, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Downs, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Chairman, yes. You know what? And rather than y'all playing magic fingers with that microphone, unless you're scared of a hard mic, I just leave it on. I see all y'all.
It's not a bad idea.
I see all y'all be banging and trying to get it. Just leave it alone. Just don't be scared of a hot mic. Just know your mic hot. All right. So don't be saying nothing. You got no business. Okay. All right.
So now we need a motion to approve.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve Palumbo.
Second.
Probably a motion and second to approve. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting to my far left.
Michael.
Playing with that mic.
No, I punched it. This is not working.
Okay.
But Owens is an emphatic yes.
Okay. Come on.
Connie's yes.
Campbell, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Downs, yes.
Palumbo, yes. Elder, yes. McCurry, yes.
Chairman, yes.
Approval done. Thank
you. All right. All right, Ms. Asia.
Okay, I'll be giving the non-motorized transportation plan amendment report. So this amendment
is in preparation for the call for projects that's coming up. And so as stated before, possible projects have to be consistent with the non-motorized transportation plan and the 2050 MTP for them to be eligible for the funds in the call for projects. So we received several TIP amendment requests from Chatham County and Port Wentworth. But after the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee meeting we had this month, we actually expanded the amendment a little bit further and added a lot more projects. So moving forward with the details of that. So again, originally this report only included the amendment request from Chatham County and Port Wentworth, but in the process of updating the non-motorized transportation plan amendment, we found that while certain segments of Tie to Town were included in the current plan, the entire plan is not included in the non-motorized transportation plan. So just to ensure that Tie to Town is fully in the plan, we also added an amendment to amend the full project into the non-motorized transportation plan. From there, we kind of also expanded that amendment request to amend the other projects that have been included in the update process we've been going through. So as stated at previous meetings, we are doing an update of this non-motorized transportation plan. And during this update, we identified multiple projects. And since that update has not yet been adopted, we're deciding to amend the projects that I just referenced, so Tie to Town, East Coast Greenway, and projects like that into the non-motorized transportation plan, just to ensure that they're eligible for certain funds like coffer projects. So in terms of public participation process, there's not a defined public participation process in our public participation plan. However, we just decided to format this how we do an MTP amendment or a TIP amendment. So 15-day public comment review period and then a public hearing today. So moving into the details of this, so these are the proposed amendments to the non-motorized plan. So the first two are from Chatham County. And then the next 12 are from Port Wentworth, and it's specifically from their Anchor Trail conceptual plan. And then this is the addition from the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and that includes amending Tie to Town, East Coast Greenway, Georgia Hilo, Effingham County's Master Bike Plan, and individual segments within that update into the non-motorized transportation plan, just so that they are now consistent with that plan and can access certain funds like those call for projects funds. Now into the details. So for Chatham County, they requested to amend the alignment of Ferguson Avenue. Originally, it extended from Whitefield Avenue to Skidaway Road, but now it's requested to be to extend from Shipyard Road to Skidaway Road. And then for LaRoche Avenue, originally that alignment was from Grimball Point Road to Nottingham Drive. But now that updated bikeway alignment will be from Bluff Drive to Skidaway Road. And then the next 12 amendments are from Port Wentworth, from their Anchor Trail conceptual plan, which is basically a bicycle and pedestrian plan that connects the city to some of their parks in their downtown area. And so the details of each of these alignments is attached to the report for you to review, but there are quite a few, so I wanted to just move on to the other amendment requests as well. And then moving into those newly identified projects that we discussed earlier. So this is the addition of what BPAC, the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, thought should be adopted into the non-motorized transportation plan. So it's the newly identified projects within the unadopted non-motorized transportation plan update. So those projects that we identified over the last couple of years that we've been updating the non-motorized transportation plan and just amending it into the most currently adopted plan, just to make sure that they're not in limbo and that they can access certain funds. And then again, that includes Tie to Town, East Coast Greenway, and a lot of the individual segments that we identified. And then we also listed them here. So Tie to Town, and then these are also two projects that City of Savannah requested for the amendment, and so we made sure to include those. And then this is also from the Tie to Town plan, some of those specific segments. East Coast Greenway, specifically the portions of East Coast Greenway that are within the MPO boundary. Georgia High-Low, which includes the segments within the MPO boundary, and this is the Effingham alignment and the Chatham County alignment. And then Effingham County's active transportation plan. And so this is just a map of that plan and then the specific bike segments that are bike and pedestrian segments that are included in that. Port Wentworth's Anchor Trail conceptual plan. So that was listed above. And it was the 12 segments that Port Wentworth submitted to us. The Bloomingdale growth plan. And then these are some of the specific alignments that were in that plan. Savannah's Vision Zero plan. There were some bicycle and pedestrian projects within that that we included into this amendment. We also have Thunderbolt projects. These were shared with us from Thunderbolt staff. And then we also included bicycle and pedestrian projects that were identified in previous studies, such as the SR 307 study and the SR 21 study. So it's a pretty massive amendment, including a lot of different projects from Port Wentworth, Chatham County, City of Savannah, Effingham, Thunderbolt, and many more areas. So this is what those updated tables will look like. So this is just the Chatham County and Port Wentworth projects so far. We'll be adding more tables to include Tie to Town, East Coast Greenway, those types of projects. And then in terms of the consistency check, there is a non-motorized set-aside in the MTP, so all of these projects are consistent with the MTP. And so that's the end of this report. So this was advertised as a public hearing, and then after that, there will be a vote on an adoption.
All right, let me have a motion to open public hearing.
Milton, second.
Probably motion and second that the public hearing be open. Are you ready for the question? Please start by voting to my right.
Yes.
Columbo,
yes.
Downs,
yes.
Underwood, yes.
Caledon, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Connie's, yes.
Owens, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right, public hearing is open. Is there anyone online? Raise hand. Say it again.
Thank you. I do have a Dr. Shabazz.
Okay. All right.
I took care of that.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Dr. Shabazz.
Dr. Shabazz?
Yes, sir.
Comment?
Self-muted. Can you unmute yourself, Dr. Shabazz? I see no activity.
All right, you see nothing else? All right, anyone in the audience? Okay. Was she able to unmute herself?
No, sir.
All right, then we have to move on.
Hello?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I got you. Come on.
Okay, good. In reference to Vision Zero, I heard her call out that name. Will it be a problem in detailing what she has listed for Vision Zero in her amendments for the non-motorized transportation plan?
Hi, Dr. Shabazz. So I just scrolled to the table that includes the specific segments and the project descriptions of the projects within Savannah's Vision Zero plan.
Okay. Let me see. I have the details in front of me. Good. I see the.
Are you able to? She able to share her screen that you can see?
I can see. Yes.
Have her screen now?
Yes.
Okay.
Tied to Town, and I am so glad.
Maybe you need to go down the line, in case she can't. If she can't see it, maybe you have to go down through the line and just tell her what it is.
Thank you, Chairman.
She can see her screen.
Oh, okay. Then I'll read the specific projects within the Vision Zero plan. So it includes crosswalk improvements for Middle Ground Road, including installing audible crosswalks, a 37th Street project from Ogeechee Road to B Road, including corridor upgrades such as traffic signal infrastructure and timing improvements, ADA improvements, pedestrian facilities, and a possible through lane removal. And then tied to town at Middle Ground Road from Abercorn Street to Montgomery Crossroads. So the construction of a separated multi-use path as phase one of tied to town. Montgomery Street from Taylor Street to Durin Avenue. So the reallocation of existing road space to add protected bicycle lanes from Durin to Victory. And then standard bike lanes from Victory to West Taylor Street. And then for Montgomery Crossroads from Middle Ground Road to East City Limits. This includes enhanced mid-block pedestrian crossings, infills with medians between Liberty Street and Gwinnett Street, reduced number of travel lanes where appropriate and create on-street parking. And then for the Waters Avenue from Durin to Montgomery Crossroads project, it includes the installation of pedestrian facilities from Durin Avenue to Stevenson Avenue, infill sidewalk to have connectivity on both sides of Waters south of Stevenson, and then the reallocation of existing road space to add protected bike lanes in a center median from Stevenson Avenue to Montgomery Crossroads. And then the final project is the Liberty Parkway from Ogeechee Road to Stanley Avenue, and that includes the installation of permanent radar driver feedback signage on both sides, as well as pedestrian facilities where feasible on the west side of Liberty Parkway from Ogeechee Road to Stanley Avenue.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, you're welcome. Any other? All right, let me have a motion to close.
Move to close the hearing, Palumbo.
Second. Probably motion and second that we close the hearing. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting to my far left.
Owens, yes.
Connie's, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Downs, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Elder, yes.
McCurry, yes.
All right, the chairman, yes. Now, let me have a motion to approve.
Mr. Chairman, motion to approve. This is an exciting moment and glad to have the core MPO on board with this effort.
Campbell, Palumbo. Second.
All right, probably motion and second that we approve. Ready for the question? Starting to my four. Right.
McCurry, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Downs, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Connie's, yes.
Owens, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right. Anything else?
No, thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's move right along.
Okay, I'll do the TIP amendment report.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we received several TIP amendment requests from Chatham Area Transit in May and August, and then we received TIP amendment requests from GDOT in their mass amendment, their annual mass amendment. And so the details of those amendments are in this report. So this also includes a 15-day public comment period and a public hearing today. So far, we have not received public comment. However, we have received comment from GDOT staff on revisions needed for the report, and we incorporated those revisions into this report. So moving on into the specific amendments. So the first five are Chatham Area Transit amendments, and then the subsequent amendments are from Georgia Department of Transportation. And then we also received a request to do an administrative modification for the I-95 project into the illustrative section of the TIP. So I'll just go into the details of that. So for Chatham Area Transit, there was an amendment request to add $2.9 million in Section 5307 funds and $2.9 million in local funds to operating assistance in fiscal year 2027. Additionally, CAT requested for preventative maintenance to revise the cost estimate of fiscal year 2026 Section 5307 funds from $1.2 million to $2 million, and then revised the local funds from $240,000 to $500,000. CAT also requested the amendment of a new project into the TIP for the farebox replacement, and within that project, there will be $2.4 million in Section 5307 funds and then $600,000 in local funds in fiscal year 2026. CAT also requested the addition of a new project for the Plant Riverside Dock, and that will include $500,000 in Section 5307 funds and $125,000 in local funds, both in fiscal year 2026. And then Chatham Area Transit requested amendments to the FTA Section 5339C low or no emission program funds. And for that one specifically, they want to add Section 5339C funds under hybrid electric buses, totaling $6.5 million in fiscal year 2026 and $9.4 million in fiscal year 2027. And then under workforce development in Section 5339C, they want to add $340,000 in fiscal year 2026 and $400,000 in fiscal year 2027. Moving on to the GDOT projects. So this is for PI00157005. This amendment is to move the right-of-way phase from fiscal year 2025 to fiscal year 2026. And within that amendment, there will be $62,000 in Y-800 funds in the right-of-way phase. The federal portion of that is $49,000, and the state portion of that is $12,000. Moving on to PI00174114. This is also a GDOT amendment request, and the amendment request is the addition of local funds and Y230 funds in the right-of-way phase in fiscal year 2026. So within that, there will be $52,000 in local funds added to fiscal year 2026. And then additionally, $1.4 million in Y230 funds will be added to the right-of-way phase in fiscal year 2026. The federal portion of those Y230 funds is $1.2 million, and then a local portion is around $290,000. Moving on to 0017415. This is an amendment request to amend new funds into fiscal year 2026 for the right-of-way phase of this project. And the right-of-way phase, that includes $122,000 in local funds. And then also in the right-of-way phase, it includes the addition of $19,000 in Y001 funds. And that includes $15,000 in federal funds and $3,900 in state funds. Now moving on to 0020739. So this is an amendment to amend this project into the TIP. This is the project that we just previously did that 2050 MTP amendment on, and it is mostly state funded. So within this project, the total project cost is around $172 million, mainly state funded, around $171 million. Will come from state funds, and around $264,000 will come from federal programming, specifically Y001 funding. And then this is the I-95 project that's regionally significant. It's 0020169. This project is being added to the illustrative section. And so moving into what those updated project pages will look like, in red, that is where we made those updates. So this is what these tables will look like in the future TIP. And then this is that new illustrative section, that new project in the illustrative section. Moving into the MTP consistency check, the transit projects are consistent with the 2050 MTP under the transit set aside. And then for the highway projects, all of the projects are consistent with the 2050 MTP, including that I-16 project that we just amended into the 2050 MTP. And then this is just the coordination. This was advertised as a public hearing, and then if there are no questions, then we can move on adoption.
All right, may I have a motion to go public hearing?
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Palumbo.
Second, Milton.
Probably motion and second. Please cast your vote starting on my left.
Owens, yes.
Connie's, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Downs, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
McCurry, yes.
All right, the chairman, yes. All right, do we have anyone raise hand teaching?
No, sir.
All right, anyone else on phone? None. Do we have any in the audience who may want to make public comments about this? Hearing none, let us close. May I motion to close the hearing?
Motion to close the hearing, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All right. Let us begin voting to my right.
McCurry, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Downs, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Cowan, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Cunnings, yes.
Owens, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right. Let me have a motion now to approve.
So move, Underwood.
The resolution. Properly motion and second that we approve the resolution. Please cast your vote starting to my right again. Let me go back right.
McCurry, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Downs, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Cowan, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Cunnings, yes.
Owens, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right. So approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I will present the next item, the call for projects. Why did we do the MTP amendments? So why did we do the MTP amendments all for this call for projects? So now this is not only for the next TIP amendment. If we have funding allocation 2026, we might need to process TIP amendments for the current TIP as well. So we actually presented to you the Y230, Y301 carbon reduction program packages, menus at last meeting. And we told you at the last meeting that we will have meetings with TCC, special call meetings with TCC, special call meeting with BPAC and TPAC to discuss about the menus, particularly the criteria for ranking. So we actually hosted two workshops, one for the STPG Y230 and the carbon reduction funds, and another one for the Y3. So a separate one is for the transportation alternatives program funds. And during that time, we didn't receive any specific comments actually on the criteria. So it seems like everybody's okay with the proposed criteria, but we did receive some other comments. So we have to accommodate incorporate all of those comments into the revised packages. So I'm just going to outline what has been changed. One significant change is we are not going to use ETIP for this next call for project because we had a meeting with GDOT and Federal Highway Administration. They had a lot of concerns with our ETIP utilization. They think that we're not ready. So for this one, we are going to, for the call for projects, we're not going to use ETIP. So we were still going to go through the manually. Another one is the, we actually already talked to you about, since the new administration came into office, there are a lot of words that have become, flag words. So we cannot use those. So we have to change those. But we also got further input from AMPO because we attended the AMPO national dialogue. They mentioned that since our like 2050 MTP, we adopted that last year. So those forbidden words is okay, but they are going after us now if you are still using those flagged words. Cause we actually had during one of those meetings, Asia will talk to you about the flagged words. We actually got CAT and senior citizens. They actually submitted applications. Those applications were grant applications were already approved, but kicked back. Mm-hmm. So you have to actually revise those words before they can give you the money. So we want to avoid that. So we actually have to just go inside and change the menu. So any flag words we identified such as like resiliency and equity. So we have to, change all of that. And another thing that we did is project managers update, because if you remember, we have an outstanding performer, Anna, who gave you the status report before. But unfortunately, Anna left us last Friday. But we have another staff member, Shibachi. She will give you the presentation. So she has a degree in geology, and so she knows about hydrology. So she will take over the resiliency part, environmental part. So she will manage the carbon reduction program. And I already mentioned we have two workshops. So during those workshops, we actually got very good input. And one input is about the lab certification, because in order to manage the federal funded project, you have to be lab certified. Lab is locally administered project. So in our area, currently we have three organizations that are lab certified. One is Chatham County, two is City of Savannah, third is City of Pooler. And we have two that are applying for lab certification. One is Effingham County, another one is Port Wentworth. So we require the lab certification when we give you the money. So you might apply for the grant without lab certification during this time, but by the time we give you the money, you spend it, you need to be lab certified. But during those during the meeting, during the workshops, somebody brought to our attention, like some local jurisdictions might not get lab certified. So for example, Tybee, for example, Thunderbolt, so Bloomingdale, they might be too small. So they might not have the staff. So what can they do if they want to fund a project? So we have decided that if they can partner with those lab certified organization, for example, Chatham County, say if Tybee wants to pursue a project, but they're not lab certified, they can approach Chatham County, say, would you please do the project management for us? And we will still provide the local match. So we actually added that language over there, because that's a good suggestion, because some smaller jurisdictions just don't have the staff and capability. So, but they can partner with the already lab certified organizations. But we wish that they would have some kind of agreement to outline the roles and responsibilities. So that has been included in the menu. Another one that we have, that's the major one, plan amendments. So we just processed the plan amendments, MTP and non-motorized transportation plan, to pave way for these projects to be eligible. And another thing, thanks to our IT, and we actually created a dedicated project website. So all of the related information will be posted over there. Like today, if we approve all of these packages and schedule changes, and we will post all that information over there. And then if there are future Q&A questions and answers, will be posted over there as well. So we updated the schedule because we don't use ETIP, so we don't have to wait for the ETIP RFP and everything. So that shortens the schedule. So we plan to release the call for projects actually the week after the Labor Day week. So basically September 8th is when the call for project starts. And then we will give the applicants about 1 month to apply for the funds. And in September, we will also schedule a workshop. Basically, if you haven't submitted applications before, and we will hold your hands, the staff will hold your hands to teach you how to do it. So basically, this is the pre-application workshop that we are going to do. Because like I mentioned before, Chatham County is the only one that knows how to lay out all of your projects out. You have a preliminary in 1 year, and then in 2 years, you have a right way, and in utilities, the 2 years. But all of other jurisdictions so far, they haven't laid that out. For example, City of Savannah just applied for the preliminary engineering for the middle ground road. But what about the next phase? Think about it. So you need to lay that all out. So we will host this workshop to hold your hand, basically teach you how to do it. And then we will also do a Q&A session if it is needed. But if it's not needed, we'll just post all of those questions online. But if it's needed, we'll host another Q&A session just to help you, because we do want you to have an opportunity to do all of this. And so we hope that in December, we will have the project ranked, scored, and reviewed, and then you will receive the recommendation from the TCC, because the TCC will rank the SDBG and Carbon Reduction Program projects. And the Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and then the other one, Transportation Equity, the previous Transportation Equity. So they will have a different members to rank the transportation alternative, because those are bike path projects. So, but in December, we will present to you the projects with their rankings and the scores. And then hopefully in January, GDOT will provide the revenues, and we can start to allocate the revenues to these projects. So I will just go through this menu's quickly for the Y230. Before you apply for the funds, so many of the projects will be eligible for all. So, for example, if you want to pursue like a bicycle project, like Middle Ground Road or something, right? So it can be eligible for SDBG funds, can be eligible for transportation alternative funds or carbon reduction program funds. So when you see this, all three have a different colors, thanks to Anna who created the visual style guide. So when you look at this, you can see, if you're looking at the yellow is color, you know you're applying for Y23 funds. So for those projects, we encourage you to check all three boxes when you apply for funds. So you can be considered for all of those. So this is the part that we updated. This is the lab certification requirement. So if you do want to partner with the lab certified party, and you're covered over here. And we also covered the schedule, as I mentioned, based on that. So the schedule has been updated. As you see this yellow color, you know that's Y230. And also we changed the deadline. So October 10th is the deadline. For project selection, it stays the same, but the criteria stays the same because we didn't receive any comments on the criteria. For the transportation alternatives, I already mentioned the transportation alternatives. So is this kind of dark brown color? So you will see that this is for the you are applying for the transportation alternatives funds. And so for this one, we also updated the lab certification requirement, and also they updated the schedule. And updated the schedule over here. And then the project selection criteria. We still want to keep that, but we did change some language like previously, because the transportation alternatives is all equity scoring. So we changed the name equity to community development or community improvement. Actually, I forgot to mention the Y231. I also changed the wording because previously we have a three tiers of application or scoring. One is needs, the second tier is resiliency, and the third tier is equity. So now we change the resiliency to hazard mitigation. That is a safe word. And then the equity, we change that to community development and community improvement. So those are safe words. So this criteria also change those. Yeah, I know it's kind of funny, but we just have to do it. For the carbon reduction program, so we have the green color for this one. So we also developed the form based on this, because there are like three different kinds of projects that you can apply for these funds. So different strategies. So we also added those, specified those, and also changed a little bit of wording and the schedule. But project selection criteria didn't change. So when you apply for the funds, most of the information would be, at first we were thinking if we use ETIP, you only need to submit one application, but you can check different words. But now we're doing manually, you probably have to submit three different forms, but you can probably copy and paste. So I'm just going to open this form. So if you see this yellow, you can see, this is Y230 funds, but on this page, you can say, please indicate the source of funding. So I would encourage you to check all. The good thing is the form is almost identical. So you can just enter the information, but the eligible project type is a little bit different. So you need to check that. But most of the information, your justification would be a little bit different. So I just want to mention this. So the other two forms are very similar. So we were asking for the CornPU board to give us input and then also approve the application menu and forms so that we can finalize those and post them online. And then you can start to review this information and then get your projects together and start to prepare the information. And then if you need us to help you, and we will come to the workshop, we will just tell you how to do it.
Okay. Are there any questions about what she said and about putting the application in play. No questions? All right, let me have a motion to approve that they put the application.
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Palumbo.
Callahan, second.
All right, proper motion and second that we approve the application to go into circulation. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting to my far left.
Owens, yes.
Gunnings, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Downs, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Chairman, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And let me extend to you the invitation again, that the staff is making, as well as, we have folks, in both the city and the county. When I say city, I'm talking about Savannah now, and Chatham County, who are, I call them experts because they know more than I do. Okay. it's important for the applications that we are sending to the feds that the wording is right, right? Because the wording will get you kicked out. And we are applying for federal funds, and the wording is important, okay? So you don't want any of those trigger terms. That's what I call them, the trigger, because they start to shoot them out, okay? You don't want any of those things in your application. Because the first time they see one is gone. All right. And that was the word that they gave us in the workshop that I attended, is make sure your wording is right. This is, folks, this is not a local thing. It's not a state thing, but it is a federal thing. And if we're going to get those federal dollars, as, Wakota, suggested to us that we use, is that we partner up in certain situations so that we can help a Tybee, a Bloomingdale, yeah, a Thunderbolt, or whoever else, all right? So for us to work together again, and remember now, as I was sitting in the workshop, so, well, we've been preaching since 2021 is one Chatham, all right? So I say that to say this, when we're talking about the MPO, there's one region. And that means it applies to all of us who are in that region, okay? And so that we can get this money is available, and I can tell you, if we don't get it, Colorado will. All right, and I pick on Colorado because I get on Randy all the time because he always snatching up everything. They get three times more money than we even think about. Because they have those, that connectivity, and they have the knowledge of what to put in there and what not to put in there. And so it's going to be important. And the staff here has gone and to the conference and got those trigger. All right. So please, ma'am, please, sir, don't set off a trigger, because a trigger going to get you kicked out. All right. So please work with us so that we can make sure. I want every penny that can come to Chatham County to come to Chatham County. Every penny that can come to this region, come to this region. And so please, ma'am, work with us. Please, sir, work with us so that we can cut out those triggers and get those funds in this direction. Because we're going to need it. We're going to need it in our growth. All right. Anything else?
Okay. That's it for that item. But the next item is also related to the trigger words.
Oh, listen, that's why I made my statement.
Yeah.
I know.
Because the quorum PO is governed by the MOU, and you all signed the MOU, or your government have signed MOU. And then we are also governed by the bylaws. How do we perform meetings? But, because of the trigger word situation, we have to make some updates to the MOUs and the bylaws. The reason being, we already talked about the six, so we got some like new executive orders have been signed, some old ones have been canceled. It's like Title VI, not Title VI, environmental justice, that's the exact order has been canceled. But we also canceled, some old ones and also issued new ones. And we also received several memos from the U.S. DOT secretary, so how to do transportation planning and programming across the country. So we have to change accordingly. And also we received some updates, from our members, to update the MOU and bylaws. So I'll just outline them very quickly. For the MOU, we already talked about, because we actually, equity is a forbidden word, but we actually have a committee called the Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee. So we have to change the TPAC name. So TPAC had a meeting last week, and they voted to change their name to COPIC, so Community Opportunities and Public Involvement. It's reflected in the MOU, and also the COPIC's mission is stated in the MOU. So we have to update the MOU. And we also have to replace all those non-compliant words in the MOU and the bylaws. So this is the MOU language, the current language. As you can, I just highlighted all of this, and you can say this is updated language just to replace those words. And the bylaws update, besides the name change for TPAC, and also we actually have an MPC chairperson noticed that in the bylaws we say the mayor or designee, the councilman or designee, the county commissioner or designee, but for the MPC, it just does the MPC chairperson. So just in case the chairperson cannot come to the meetings, they can designate somebody. So they want to add the designee. And so also we also change the word for the other things. So this is just some summary. Also the BPAC voting member, when we adopted the bylaws, we have like Georgia Bikes, but now they changed the name to Go Georgia. So we will correct it to the correct name. And then we have Savannah School System. Actually the official name is Savannah Chatham County Public School System. So those have to be updated in the bylaws as well. As you can see, the bylaws, particularly for TPAC, there are a lot of changes. Besides the name change, we replaced equity, and also we deleted some executive orders that have been expired. So I would just go over through this very, very quickly. MOU, there's only one paragraph that is being updated. That is the mission statement for the TPAC. So you can see now it's the Community Opportunities and Public Involvement Committee, and they will still do advise the Corn Peel Board and the Chatham Area Transit on public involvement and transportation access. So accessible is a forbidden word right now, but transportation access is still okay word, and it means the same thing for us. So we still want to deal with transportation access and community impact and community improvement, because environmental justice and accessible transportation are now forbidden words. But we will still do, because environmental justice, you are basically, you are defining your where your concentration of low income population and people in poverty and the minority population. You still have to, for planning purposes, you still have to do all of that. But we can just change the name. So we're not going to use environmental justice. We will just say community impact, community improvement, because that's part of your analysis. You still have to do the socioeconomic data analysis. And so this is the MOU part. For the bylaws part, we also changed, this is the organizational structure. We changed the name for TPAC, and then we also, this is the name change. Editing over here, the MPC chairperson or his designee, or ADFAC chairperson or his or designee, just to add this information, just to be consistent. As you can see over here, the voting members have been updated. TCC didn't change, ADFAC didn't change, BPAC, I already mentioned, Go Georgia replaces Georgia Bikes, and Savannah Chatham County Public School System replaced the Chatham School System. And so the most of the changes are happening to TPAC, as you can see. So now it's COPIC. So the mission has been included as well over here, did a little bit change. Deleted the expired executive orders, and like Justice 40, that has been, because that is forbidden now. So you have to delete that. So we just replaced all of this. So basically, these are the MOU and the bylaws changes. So just to be consistent with the new guidelines from the current administration, so just want to make sure, because MOU and the bylaws are our governing documents, so we just have to. At first, I thought it's like language change can be considered administrative modification, but we decided should be action item to get your approval before they take effect. Any questions on this?
Any questions? Nope. All right.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Let's move it.
Yeah, I just hope in 4 years we don't do this again.
Chairman, we need to have you all vote on those changes. And I just want to take a point of privilege, if I may, to thank staff. We spent a lot of time coming up with new, innovative, and creative wording in order to make sure that we are consistent and are able to move forward with our project. So there was a lot of time and effort spent on that. So I definitely want to thank the team for their efforts on that.
All right, let me have a motion that we accept the changes.
So moved, Callahan.
Palumbo, second.
Properly motion and second that we accept the changes and the new bylaws and other applications. All right, ready for the question. Please cast your vote, starting to my left.
Owens, yes.
Gunnies, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Downs, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
McCurry, yes.
And the chairman, yes. And let me thank the director and staff too for getting those things together, because what you may not know is that if we get rejected on one side, we get rejected on the other sides as well. All right. And what I mean by that is that if something that Chatham County puts in, it not only affects Chatham County, but it also affects Effingham and Bryan County, because we all are part of the MPO. All right. And so therefore we have to be consistent, and we have to make sure that we keep down all those trigger words. I mean, and you know, listen, you don't want to see that page of trigger words they got. Okay. And see, in order to be there, and I don't know if my number is correct, but I'm just going by sight. Shoot, them thousands of words that they got down there as triggers.
Aisha will give you the presentation on the word, the safe words.
Oh, she does? Okay.
Yeah.
You do
have
that?
Yeah,
okay.
She has that information for you later. Okay. Yeah, right. She has two pages of trigger words, and then she give you some examples for safe words.
Yeah, but I just want to compliment you all on going through there and getting all that together, because it affects everybody in the MPO.
Yes.
See, and if one is out, all is out.
Yeah, particularly grant applications.
Exactly.
So I want to make sure
that's what I'm
avoid
talking.
That.
All right. And just like they told us to start with that E.
Okay, yeah, I
can't use that no more. Put it out. Let's go find out how they want to do it, and then let's do it.
Okay. We did present to you the comparison for the ETIP research. And then we presented to you the RFP that we were going to release in July. But we had a meeting actually at the end of June, and so we were stopped by FHW and GDOT. They want us to do more research and also express their concerns. So we actually will develop the ETIP under the guidance of FHWA and GDOT. So some of the concerns that we can address, some of the concerns that we cannot address now, because we still need input. So I will just outline some of the comments. And the first one is easy, because it's a need multi-year contract. In our RFP, we only have the deployment for the first year. We didn't include maintenance. So GDOT wants us to include the deployment plus maintenance. So have it multi-year contract and specify that in the RFP. And then also for the investment and continuity, because our previous ETIP expires and then we were in limbo for several years. So they want to avoid that kind of situation. So if you select a vendor and if the vendor stops a service, what do you do? You don't want to waste your investment. So list that all out and have a contingency plan. So that will be researched more. For FHWA, they are more concerned with demonstration of fiscal constraint. they don't think that the E-tip can demonstrate a fiscal constraint for tip. Like you are physically, your revenues, more than the cost estimating each year. So we have to figure out how to do the demonstration of fiscal constraint. And also FHW is concerned with federal compliance because they don't think E-tip is federally compliant. The tip is official requirement, but the E-tip is not. So you have to specify that E-tip is just a tool to help us, to avoid the manual work or reduce the manual work. So that can be easy, to address. We will add some languages in there. GDOT is concerned with the deployment schedule, because ARC deployed their, E-tip, like over their time frame. So we actually have 9 months and they don't think it's enough. So you might have a lot of difficulties in deployment. So they want us to revise the schedule. So we have to do some evaluation on that. And also FHW is concerned with E-tip consistency with the statewide tip. So GDOT will do some internal discussion and let us know what the discussion results are so that we can incorporate that into the RFP. So this is part that we're waiting for GDOT so that we know what kind of language to put in. And then also another one, number 7, is easier to address, the concern with programming, because each funding code has different split. So it might be 100, 0, 90, 10, 50, 50, 80, 20. So don't assume all of them are 80, 20. So I think this one is easier, but we will probably in the E-tip, we list all of those programs with different split funding code. So we would enter that manually. Number 8 and number 9 are pretty hard for us to address at this point, because what they want is for the user authorization, they actually want all of those project managers to be involved. So for the tip management, they want us not only programming funds, but also to say who's going to approve the concept of planning, who's going to approve the right-of-way plans, who's going to approve the utility plans and construction plans. So they want those people to be involved as well. So basically they want the whole PDP process to be included, project development process. So this actually we have to schedule some special kind of meeting with GDOT and with the local project sponsors like Chatham County, City of Savannah. So we can figure out which steps that we need to include in E-tip and also who we give user authorization to. So this is a part that this is the most difficult part, and and we will try to schedule a meeting probably to discuss this. So basically we just need more information to work on the E-tip RFP. So we currently I'm thinking probably that December might be by the date for the E-tip RFP release. Might be optimistic, but we will see. I'm depending on what kind of results we have from GDOT. Okay, this is the E-tip. Any questions on this?
Questions? No, ma'am. Moving right along.
Okay. Move along. I will talk about the UPWP. UPWP is our annual program. Normally, if you want to pursue some kind of a grant funding, you want to include your study into the UPWP because that will help you to boost your chance of the grant application. But in order to include the plans and studies into your UPWP, you need to have like 2 rounds of discussion by the TCC and report to the board. And before the grant application, you may have the 3rd round. But this is as early that you can get to put those studies or plans into the UPWP. So remember, we have 3 studies, and Chatham County also has several studies. They all went through this process. So I just want to make sure. So if you want to do some studies or plans, make sure to coordinate with us. And the deadline for submit your suggestions is September 30th. So for the UPWP development, you don't have to be that very, very detailed on your scope. So you can just say you want to do something just to have some idea and give us cost estimate. So I'm talking about fiscal year 2027. So it will start next July 1st of next year. So the earliest time you can apply for actually the discretionary PL funds is September. So I just want to make sure if you want to, if you think about doing something at that time and you want to include your plans and studies right now. So please talk to us before September 30th.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And now, HW, talk to you about the trigger word.
Okay, I won't go through this entire presentation. I'll just hit on the most important points. And we included this presentation on the agenda just as a resource to everyone regarding some of the wording guidance and the changes in federal priorities. So just moving into this, there have been changes to federal priorities and the release of several executive orders and U.S. DOT memos that have advised the discontinuance of using certain words and certain terminology. So this presentation includes some background on those executive orders and things to look out for. So any agency or organization that is a recipient of federal funds should be paying attention to this and should be making these types of changes to their documents. So in this presentation is the list of flagged words. This is sourced from New York Times. And you can read the article to get more detail on how they compiled this list of words. But a lot of the words do impact government work for us specifically. So for transportation, for example, we do use accessible a lot within transportation planning, advocate and advocacy. That's a word that we use pretty often that we consider neutral, but under current federal guidance, it's not a neutral term anymore. So in order to avoid any type of loss of fund or prevention of accessing funds, the NPO did provide some examples of word changes that can be made so that we can avoid the any type of problem in terms of applying for grants or receiving funding or anything that's impacted by federal review. So these are just examples that we created. However, there are probably many words that you can use in place of these words. Really, we were just looking for synonyms. So any synonym that avoids a lot of these words will probably be better to use instead of the words that are on that list. And some advice that we got came from other organizations. And then also you can use ChatGPT to identify some of those synonyms as well. And so our general advice is that if you're a recipient of federal funds, you probably should start changing some of the terminology that you use just to make sure you're still receiving those federal funds. And so the whole presentation includes also ways to stay up to date on a lot of those changes in the background on what those changes are. And so we suggest going through this presentation just to see those resources. But that is basically it. I didn't want to go through it. It's too long.
Any questions? Hearing none, thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Moving right along.
I will give you an update on the US-80 corridor study phase two. As you may remember, we finished phase one by Polar. Actually, Polar did the phase one study. That's from I-516 all the way to Effingham County line. And then last year, we updated our boundary to include the southern Effingham County. So the phase two carries on, where US 80 from the county line all the way to Bryan County line. So we kicked off the study back in May. We already received several deliverables. One is the public management, project management plan. Staff already provided comments, and the consultant has already updated that plan based on the comments. And they also delivered the public outreach plan. We also provided comments, and they have already incorporated and updated that plan. Another deliverable is phase one cost estimates, because the phase one is 12 miles. So the project was pretty big. So the money wasn't able to cover the cost estimating. So they developed about 30 recommendations without cost estimating. So now we will actually include that in phase two. So the cost one cost estimating is ready now. And in the near future, staff will process administrative modification to our vision plan where all of those identified needs are listed. So some of those projects don't have cost estimates. So we're going to update, with this cost estimates to update the vision plan. And then, consultant actually collected traffic counts data last Thursday. So data collection is done. So the existing conditions report probably will be given to you. We will have a presentation at the December meeting just to have the existing conditions report. We did create a web portal to transfer files. So actually I think we got most of the files done. So and this is based on the completion, like for each task, the percentage of completion based on the consultants submitted to us. So you can see we are actually developing this project according to schedule.
Questions? All right.
Thank you. And I will introduce Shvachi so that she can give the presentation on the urban flood model study.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ikoda. Good morning, Mr. Chair and the members of the board. My name is Subhashi Karunaratna. I will be giving you the status report on the urban flooding model phase two. So the core MPO was awarded a discretionary planning funds to the amount of $120,000 to conduct the dynamic flood modeling tools for optimized planning for core MPO transportation infrastructure assistance, and this is the phase two. We also have 20% local match, and that totals up to the total funding to $150,000. The core MPO procured University of Georgia and Goodwin Mills Colwood Company to complete the study. By now, we had the kickoff meeting on July 3rd, and we had two project management meetings in July and August, and these meetings will occur every month on the third Monday. GMC has partnered with us to create a more efficient project management method using the Microsoft Teams tools, and that's where we're exchanging our files and tracking the tasks. So that has made everybody's lives very easy. And the core MPO staff is reviewing the project management plan submitted by the consultants. And also Anna Macquarie, as Waikota mentioned, has left us last week, and I will be taking her duties. I would also like to thank Anna for all the great work she's done here at Core MPO and MPC. We dearly miss her, and I want to wish her all the best for her future endeavors. And this is what we have for our timeline. And with that, I end the staff report. Thank you so much. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. You're welcome. I'm glad you want to stand in the hot seat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you so much. All right, let's move right along. Leisure.
I will open that report. So the core MPO is also conducting a bicycle and pedestrian facility study, which is an inventory study that will inventory all of the bike lanes, crosswalks, and sidewalks in the area, and then also assess the condition of those infrastructures and features. So moving in to the report, this was attached or this report is from Croy Engineering, and it's attached to the agenda for your review. But I also want to ask some specific questions that Croy Engineering need to complete some of the work that they have going on in regards to this study. One thing that was brought up at previous meetings was road ownership data. So currently, Cray Engineering is putting together an existing conditions report for this project of our existing roadways. And one thing they were missing was some of the road ownership data. So if you have that road ownership data of your roadways, you can submit that to Cray Engineering, or you can submit it to me, and then I can pass it along to them. Additionally, they are asking for representatives from all of the cities and towns within the MPO planning area to join their advisory committee. So currently they've created space for all of the jurisdictions. So that's Savannah, Pooler, Bloomingdale, Tybee, all of the jurisdictions that are within the MPO planning area to serve as an advisory role to this project. And so if you have someone that you would like to attend those meetings and serve in an advisory position, then just let me know or let Croy Engineering know. Or if this is not something that your organization can do, Croy Engineering also discussed coordinating some public outreach just to make sure some representation exists from every jurisdiction on this project. And then lastly, they did have a request from Effingham County to have their Safe Streets for All plan submitted. And since then, that project has been submitted, so they have that. So those were the requests that Croy Engineering had for participation on this project and also some data needs.
And if I may, one of the things that you need to know is this is also a project that we got funding from through the discretionary funding process that we went through. Mm-hmm. And I want to say it was $250,000 that was able to get from that funding source. So that's why it's really important to have projects ready when it is time to go after that extra money.
And what I would encourage us to do is in every jurisdiction now that's in the MPO, if you will, get in touch with the, let them bring it to your staff as to who they're going to ask to serve on that advisory. Right. And I really think yes. that if you want to know what the, especially the Corps is doing, all right, because the Corps is doing some things sometimes that the rest of us don't have a clue until they invite you over there to see. All right. And I'm a witness to that. So I invite you to make sure that somebody, all right, even if it's a citizen, you know, because we got that word designee, even if it's a citizen, get on that advisory and go over to those meetings so you can know what's coming your way, all right? Because there are some changes coming along the Savannah River, and it's not just the Savannah River that's in Chatham County either, you know, because it runs all the way through the back of Effingham County all the way down to Augusta. So it hits those other counties and it hits those other jurisdictions. And you need to know what the Corps is saying that they're doing and how they're doing it. So, and you know how it affects. So I encourage you, but, Madam Chair, Madam Director, I hope that they will put their names through you. So you will know. All right. Whoever they're going to assign there. You have a copy of who's being assigned and as well as,
if I know, possible,
because they say you can go directly to the Corps,
right.
But see, the Corps may not send you the information.
Well,
but if we send you the information and then you go to the Corps, then we know how we have a copy of what's going on too.
That's true. Actually, since I'm the ED for the Corps as well, I get all of that information,
mm-hmm.
But it would be helpful if, you have somebody that you want to put on the advisory committee. If you have that information sent to me and copy the staff,
right.
Then we can make sure that we've got representation from all of the partners in this process.
Yeah.
And I would say that as well for the road projects that you all are working on. We found out kind of secondhand after a lot of work was done on, I think it was 204. That Pooler had started working on. So anything that you've got going on that involves multiple jurisdictions, it would be really helpful to make sure that we know that you're getting started on those projects so that we can help facilitate any additional coordination that you might need.
All right. Okay. Thank you, ma'am. We good? All right. Let us go now to we had information, right?
Yes.
Make sure I'm in the right place. Jidat?
Thank you. This is Katie. For our pre-construction status report, the first two items, 705 and 704, are the major widening bridge replacements on State Route 404 and over Back River. These projects are anticipated to go through FFPR in December. Number 3 and 4, this is Bull River and Lazaretto Creek bridges. Design anticipates requesting PFPR in September. Also, the virtual public outreach is underway and ads will run in the paper at the end of this week. And the GDOT link will be sent as usual requesting the feedback. Number five is 18023, the roundabout at Hodgeville Road. And the next milestone is PFPR and environmental is ongoing. Number six is 15151, safety improvements project, anticipating FFPR in November. The grade separation project 20282 is a new project coming up. It's in concept approval. The rest of these projects are new. They're being added and, they're in early concept. For the construction, we have our innovative projects up top that are all finishing up, and the percent complete status for the rest of them are listed on the report. And that's all I have. Does anybody have any questions?
All right, any question for GDOT? Let me ask this one question. The project that you have in partnership with South Carolina and the feds for I-95, you know which project I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can we be included in the update, because they're going to start, there's some work that's going to start at the state line on 95 and come to where the bridge crosses over Savannah River. Can updates be added to this report so that the rest of the MPO will,
yes,
partners in the MPO will know what's going on there? I mean, you probably have to go ask somebody a little higher up the chain than you are, but would you ask that question and sure, try to get me an answer?
Will do. Thanks.
Okay. She went out?
We have an update from South Carolina DOT.
About that project?
About, yes.
All right, but what I'm asking though is when we give this report, can that update be a part of this report?
We can put them back to back, but they're going to be able to speak.
Put them back to back.
Yeah, we'll put them back. We'll make sure that in the future we'll put them back to back, but they are part of the agenda to give us an update.
I just want to mention, I think the chairman wants the segment within Georgia. The last provided the segments within South Carolina.
I understand that, but I think that it's important that they get both because they're partnered. They're done in tandem since it's kind of, we're doing the gap piece. So if they both can be done back to back, the part in South Carolina and the part in Georgia, at least the status of where they are, then you know what's going on with the project.
Well, my understanding is from what they said when I was over there now was that they're doing them all one time. It's complete. It's South Carolina has a contract and I have the money, and then they're doing the whole thing one time. So you're going to experience work and growth from the South Carolina line to over on the other side of where the bridge crosses 95.
That's right? Correct.
Which would give you somewhere around the either Port Wentworth or Poole area. See, if I saw that map correctly. But I'm just saying, because some of the work is going to be done in Georgia and going to be done in Chatham County, if you need to put it back to back, that's fine.
I just wanted to make sure that because the project is together, that's why I said that.
Yeah, it's one big project.
It would just be done in tandem. So if you know what's going on.
$800+ million. It's one big project.
If you know what's going on with,
you know.
If you know what's going on with one, you're going to know what's going on with the other. So when the report is given, it will cover.
Okay, but if they're giving you update, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll get it covered.
Just somewhere in here included, so the rest of them.
So we can just include that number 11 over there for the I-95. Yeah.
All righty, that'll be good. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, let's move on now. Chatham County.
Hello, everyone. Tina Botkol, Chatham County Engineering. Not much has changed since the last time we were here. I do want to highlight that we did hold the PIOH for the 204 access study, and there is currently public comment for that online. So if anyone has comments, I think it'll be open for about 2 more weeks. And then moving down, Little Neck, Skidaway, those are all just in pre-construction local design. We held US 80 Sidewalks is about to wrap up. I think that's pretty soon going to be finished. We held the pre-con for Quaco Road last week. And John Carter at Little Neck Signal, that is currently underway. We began that probably 2 weeks ago. And the wall tower stabilization, that is currently out for bid. So that is the update. If anyone has any particular questions.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks.
City of Savannah.
Faye DeMassimo, Chief of Planning and Economic Development with the City of Savannah. Quick update on our projects on Durin. We had a community town hall back in June, and since that time, we have worked through with GDOT and our federal partners an updated public involvement plan for the remainder of the project. We are re-engaging the Public Advisory Committee and their upcoming Public Advisory Committee meetings associated with that. Our consultant, Kimley Horn, has submitted an updated traffic data forecasting report to GDOT around toward the end of July. And we are advancing the interchange access justification report, including all of the environmental reports that are accompany that, ecology, air, noise, history, and so forth. The congestion relief project's preliminary plans are anticipated to be submitted to us within the next few months. And with that, we'll also be submitting revised preliminary plans to GDOT for encroachment permit review. On DeLesseps, construction on the project is 72% complete and remains on schedule to finish by the end of November. There's currently a detour in place for construction and pipe installation, and curb and gutter installation along with sidewalk in that same area has also started. On the Truman Linear Park Trail Phase 2B, construction remains on schedule for completion in June of 2026. Work has begun on the 52nd Street Bridge. Concrete work is complete from the Durin Avenue and Reuben Clark Drive intersection, the start of the 2B project, up to the first timber boardwalk at approximately East 60th Street. 3 timber boardwalks have been installed. On Middle Ground Road, tied to town segment, the conceptual design is underway. The draft environmental resource identification reports have been submitted to GDOT Office of Environmental Services for review and approval, and the land survey work is in progress. We anticipate completion of that by the end of next week. On the I-16 ramp removal, on June the 12th, 2025, our City Council approved an MOA with GDOT to proceed with conceptual planning and public engagement. Through our Reconnecting Communities grant, we've transferred a significant portion of those proceeds over to them. GDOT is really taking the leadership role now on completing the interchange modification report update and all the environmental screening. So when the project comes back to us, it'll be ready to complete NEPA. And if SPLOST 8 is successful, the funds are in there to go ahead and affect the removal of that ramp. Thank you very much.
Questions? All right. Hilton Head International Airport. Are they here? All right. Let's go on Chatham Area Transit.
Good afternoon, Mary Moskowitz, Chatham Area Transit. The report is in your package, and I just want to go over some updates to things that are not in the report. On the second item on that paratransit maintenance facility, in addition to the preliminary design criteria, we have also submitted our Section 106 report to FTA. That is our historical and archaeological report as part of the NEPA determination for that project. for the electric bus replacement project. So that was on the TIP amendment that you all just approved. So I thank you for that. We had the opportunity to modify that request to a different propulsion system. And so we are moving forward with now hybrid electric buses. And I do also want to thank the MPO as well. We did have to change some of the language in that grant. And thank you to the MPO for providing that nice language suggestion, and that helped us make those changes. So those are two grants, and one of the requests has been approved by FTA, and the second request is under review. Also for that marine electric charging station, that is also a low no grant, which is also under review, and I anticipate we will be asked to make some changes to that language as well. That concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, let's go on to Paul Wentworth. Are they here? All right. Effingham?
No report, Mr. Chairman.
All right. We got that from South Carolina. All right. Let's move on. Georgia Ports. He was here, but they had to go. All right. City of Bloomingdale. Garden City. No. Okay. Pooler. All right. Thunderbolt. Tybee. Richmond Hill. Bryan County.
I can just give a couple of reports on a few projects that we're working on. One is the Belfast-Keller Road project, which consists of several projects. One is the widening of the bridge over I-95, which was a congressional earmark. We have made a request to GDOT for a PI number on that. In addition, on the east side of Belfast-Keller, of the east side of I-95, we have awarded that widening project to Platinum Paving. Anticipate the completion of the project in Q3 of 2026. The west side widening is the engineering design is ongoing. And then also we have completed two roundabouts on Belfast-Keller. Lastly, we are doing a full road reconstruction on Brisbane Road, which connects Harris Trail Road to State Route 144, and that is ongoing right now, and anticipate completion in Q4 of 2025.
All right. Effingham municipalities.
No report.
All right. Thank you. Wakota, I don't see any other public comments, do we? All right. So, Wakota, would you take us through the newsletter and then the Atlanta to Savannah rail? Had you up here.
So you can sign up for the Core Connections newsletter, mm-hmm. and we provided a link for that sign up. And then for the survey we attach, there's a current survey out to survey public opinion on a possible passenger rail between Atlanta and Savannah. And we provide the link here.
Okay. Our next core MPO meeting will be October 22nd, 2025 at 10 a.m. here in this chamber. All right. That's it. That's the agenda. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Counted.
Probably motion and second. Let's get the vote signed to my right.
Downs, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Count in, yes.
Milton, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Dunnies, yes.
Owens, yes.
Chairman. So adjourned.